What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful Select Backstage Report Podcast. Let me know if I'm on the right mic. I just had to change it during that intro. So glad that I'm here with you guys. First off, I got a lot of people asking how I'm doing, so I'll just address that off the top. I sustained a little concussion last week. I won't get into the details about how and all that. Just a little accidental contact, so to speak, doing some training, and everything is fine now. I had very good days Saturday and Sunday. Wednesday was actually very good as well. I did Listen, Your Boy 300. I did AEW Dynamite. Thursday and Friday were pretty rough days until the evening portion of Friday. Got to go to the Bengals game. I'm feeling much better. I suffered from post-concussion syndrome pretty badly for nearly a couple years, about a decade ago, and it changed my life very, very negatively. It really, really sucked, and coupled that with a pretty debilitating neck injury that I had at that point, it was not a fun time to live. So honestly, compared to that, this has been a walk in the park. You never really know this soon after a concussion if all is thumbs up and good to go and all that. But we're here for the Backstage Report. I want to thank Joel and Jeremy for filling in for the Q&A show. I fed them some answers to questions as well. So check that out if you guys didn't. I am back in the fold today. We're here doing the Backstage Report podcast because we reported this CM Punk stuff. And Glassdoor Gamer says perfect timing for Collision to be coming to Lexington, eh, Sean? But as IBN says, how does all this stuff affect your mental health, Sean? I don't like it. I don't like covering news like this, but it is the job. I don't like covering stuff like the Lufisto thing. I don't like covering drama backstage, but that is the reality of the situation. Now, considering that I own part of the outlet that I work for now, I get to deem what I cover and what I don't cover. But ultimately, what I want to cover is what reflects the interest levels of you guys who are subscribers, who invest in us every single month. And this is something that is interesting to you guys. So Dave says Punk drama means dollars for Fightful. Hopefully this gets him to 100,000 subs. I think we'll sit about between 7,000 and 8,500 from now on. I don't know if there's ever going to be a year like last year that gets us to 11,000 or anything like that. But, we're doing all right. And we appreciate your support. So let's go ahead and talk about this story and the other stories that we broke this week on Fightful Select. Before I get there, you will never hear me do another regular YouTube plug behind the paywall. But as things stand, we are 43 YouTube subscribers away from 100,000. I cannot believe that. We had our channel nuked at one point. So here's the deal. Saturday, I am at a bowling alley, and I get a call, and I am told, Ryan Nemeth was brought into Collision and then immediately sent home. And I said, well, that's weird. Why is that? And they said, well, it's CM Punk related. And I was able to confirm it was CM Punk related. CM Punk did not want Ryan Nemeth even eating in catering, much less wrestling on the show. Nemeth was brought into North Carolina before the tapings. To my knowledge, he is on a per appearance deal, not a full contract, but he was promptly sent home. Now, we've learned more about the words that they've had recently. After CM Punk's return promo, Ryan Nemeth tweeted, literally the softest man alive. Now, Punk was also at Dynamite that following week because the Elite were not there. They wanted to have Punk there. It made a lot more sense to do that. Punk spoke to Nemeth after seeing him in the locker room, asked him to make good on his literally the softest man alive tweet. Nemeth said, you know what? Can we move into the hall and talk about this? And Punk said something like, we can go outside. And they settled on the hall. They had a conversation. Now, Punk believed that the tweet was Nemeth trying to score points with his friends, asked him to knock it off because tensions were high and they were trying to move on. And he said he didn't want Nemeth being passive aggressive unless they were handling it another way. I don't like to interject my opinion into stuff like this, but considering the nature of the promo that preceded that tweet, it's easy to see why tensions were still high, and you know, Punk had something to do with that as well. People close to Punk claim that Nemeth apologized, the two shook hands, and moved on. However, it was confirmed to us that Punk did not want Nemeth on Collision, even in catering, as mentioned, but that's not it. Fightful had also reported that Matt Hardy and Isaiah Cassidy were supposed to be at recent Collision episodes. The travel was booked, then unbooked. They were not scheduled to be at this week's Collision. Nick Hausman of House of Wrestling confirmed something or he reported something, and I had actually heard this recently. Christopher Daniels was kept from Collision because of Ace Steele, CM Punk's friend, not being allowed there. We'll have more on that this week. Punk didn't see that as fair, as Daniels was also involved in breaking up Brawl Out last September. Now, I want to say we have made an effort to reach out to Nemeth, but he is off of social media right now. The Hangman Page stuff. Now, I confirmed that he was in town for a pre-tape. I have not confirmed he was at the building or not. People close to Punk claim that he wasn't. Even people close to Hangman said that he wasn't, but then there were some reports that he was. I'm still working to nail down that information. But Page was in town and was told that they need to do a pre-tape away from the arena for this week's Dynamite. After the show, Punk cut a promo taking shots at Page, which House of Wrestling and Nick Hausman claims didn't come off the way that Punk wanted, and he felt bad about them after. Now, to state this, when I say not a work, now this is something that kind of followed the MJF thing last year. When you say not a work, when I'm saying not a work, I mean both parties are not involved in a work. One person trying to work and another person not trying to work does not make it a work to me. It can lead to one, and that's sort of what we saw last year with MJF-related stuff. One person might have been, you know, trying to work themselves into a situation, which is what we see with Punk here. He wants to talk to the Elite, or at least he claims that he does. Hangman, as best I know, doesn't talk about Punk, doesn't have any interest in working with Punk or talking to Punk. And most of the people I talk to in Collision believe that he's trying to work himself into an angle. And Hangman ain't working himself into an angle. So I know that there's some contention there that CM Punk still wants to talk things out, make things. I don't know exactly what goes through his head or what he's wanting out of the situation there. But the talent that had been pulled believe it was CM Punk, but we haven't heard specifically that's the case. Of course, AEW would deny that. Tony Khan didn't comment when asked about the stuff with Punk and Hangman. And I mean, this same suspicion was sort of the domino effect that led to a lot of the miscommunication between and bad blood between Punk and the Elite. I think we're going to work to put together a timeline video eventually about how all this traces back to Royal Rumble 2014. We are going on a 10-year saga here. Be a pretty big production for us if we did that. But I do want to know what you guys think, and I want to know if you guys have any questions. We are going to weave in and out of this because I know this is a topic that you guys want to discuss. So throughout this process, we are also going to be talking about this. BBQ Dad says, definitely interested in your thoughts on SmackDown and Collision. Interesting stuff out of SmackDown. They really wanted to keep the Rey Mysterio stuff quiet, like him winning the title. Bobby Roode, Nick Aldis were there. AJ Styles and Karrion Kross, Nick Aldis helped with that match, and Robert Roode helped with the U.S. title match. They were shadowing Petey Williams and Jamie Noble, respectively. I love the Street Profits new thing. EO Sky looked wonderful. I'm so glad to see Dakota Kai still there. The way that I thought reading about SmackDown on Twitter was that Karrion Kross and AJ Styles had the worst match ever. And then I watched it and I was like, oh, it was that one miscommunication. All right, some people are just going to hate anything that Karrion Kross does. Whatever. Amazing that AJ can still do a springboard 450. And I just completely reinforced my belief that Cody Rhodes should have won that title at WrestleMania. Man. Collision. I'm still getting through Collision a little bit. But Yeah, I mean, I generally like Collision. I generally think it's a really good show. But I was out doing a bit of a reunion with my friends that evening. Had to jump right into the news there. But let's talk about some other big news that we had this past week. Bray Wyatt coming back soon. I know that Mike Rotunda, his father, spoke similarly of that. Now, I did a full podcast on this, a 10-minute podcast on this last week. So you can go listen to that. But basically, here's the order of events. And Chris says, is the problem with AEW that too many people leak stuff to dirt sheets? Not to me. Looks all right to me. And no, I mean, there are so many things that, quite frankly, that y'all don't even know about because you can't get it on the record. Every company has stuff leaked to dirt sheets. It's a matter of what gains interest. So the Bray Wyatt thing, here's the order of operations. Mid-January, Eric Young has pitched a new Wyatt family-esque storyline. Alexa Bliss was to be involved. She was off TV at the end of January. Bray Wyatt moves into a feud with Bobby Lashley, as well as Bo Dallas, who is playing Uncle Howdy. Bray gets sick at the end of February. They don't know necessarily the match or how that will work out. It was career and life-threatening. It was downplayed pretty heavily to me throughout this period up until recently. And then I got the clear from people that speak with him and are close to him, or else it wouldn't ever come out in Fightful, that this was career and life-threatening. So around that period, Alexa Bliss got pregnant. She's out for the rest of the year. She let WWE know she was sidelined. She was going to be out for the rest of the year. WrestleMania match doesn't happen. There are no creative plans for Uncle Howdy. And then the week after WrestleMania, Vince McMahon is back as a face of WWE and Eric Young asks for his release. Throughout this process, there have never been times where Bray Wyatt was cleared. He was never planned back. He was not planned for SummerSlam. Alexa Bliss was never planned back. There were weird reports in May that she was supposed to come back. Nope, she had let them know in March that she was pregnant. So here's to hoping that Bray Wyatt is back soon. The best case scenario that I've heard of is that he's cleared soon and can come back in September. That's best case scenario. It is not a guarantee. It is not, for sure happening. I have not heard a name. I don't think that they've been given a name either as to who they'd be working with. Eleanor, Tommaso Ciampa posted a video of putting up missing posters for Gargano. Could that be leading to something on TV? Jesus, I hope so. For the love of God, put these guys on TV together. Help that tag team division, especially with Owens and Zayn sidelined. For the love of God, please. It needs to. Johnny's been good to go. Obviously, you don't know for sure, but do you think the not having Nemeth there was more Punk actively asking for it or management doing it to appease Punk? CM Punk does not want Nick Nemeth or Ryan Nemeth there. I don't know if he wants Nick Nemeth there. He doesn't want Ryan Nemeth there. To me, it seems like Punk is working completely. He's not stupid enough to cause as much drama against the betterment of the company. It is not that. I'm sorry. I would love nothing more than if this was some big, elaborate monster work that, then led us to this gigantic period of like the one of the greatest angles ever or something like that. Like, I would love that. I would love to have actually been wrong on some of this because it is not fun to cover. It is not ideal. It's not enjoyable in that sense. Oh man, I'll tell you what's enjoyable. Nigel McGuinness might be coming back. I've been told that he is actively taking steps to make a return to the ring. All In has been discussed or mentioned, but nothing completely sure as of yet. We talked to Bailey. Now we talked to her at Money in the Bank, and we got like a minute with her. And somebody in the comments was like, "Oh, why does Fightful wait so long to put these up?" Like, there is absolutely nothing in that interview that dated. As I'm pulling it up now, there's nothing that was dated in that interview that you needed to hear that weekend at all. So, yeah. But other channels do things the other way. She talked about how she worked during the pandemic and the variety of things that she did. And she did say that after doing a lot of that work during the pandemic, it was like, it was a bit of a stab to her that she didn't get to appear on WrestleMania in a wrestling capacity that year. And I completely understand that. Roman Reigns did get hurt at SummerSlam. It's not a back issue. He has not been pulled from any dates as of yet, is the information that I got. Teal Rhodes spoke to the spotlight. She set up Cody's tattoo appointment. She thought it was going to be on his chest or something instead of his neck. Woof. Damn. Sorry, Teal. The Sami Zayn spot last week. That spot on Raw was always planned like that. Nothing changed shortly before the show. It was always planned like that. Regarding Brian Pillman, Bodyslam.net reported weeks ago that he's headed to WWE. I have confirmed he is in the process of relocating to Florida. He is not signed as of yet. We have confirmed Jim Ross's current AEW deal is set to be up within a couple of months as well. Last week, Fightful returned that Edge, New Day, and The Bunny were all headed back. I got word that Bunny was headed back. Some people in Toronto that worked Smash Wrestling had heard about that. And then, of course, New Day coming back to work with Viking Raiders and get their big win. That's a big shot in the arm for WWE. And then Edge came back a little bit sooner than a lot of people thought that he would. It was supposed to be next week. They brought him in this past week to set up his angle with Sheamus. AEW All In. I was told that Bryan Danielson and Kenny Omega was considered. I had actually once been told that it was a bit of a plan, but it was reiterated to me, not necessarily a plan. It was more of just an idea that this could happen. But unfortunately, the Bryan Danielson injury happened, so that was completely off the table. And also, Jamie Hayter was hopeful for the show. They had some tentative plans for her. I don't necessarily know what those are. But Pac was also figured into the card pretty significantly before the unfortunate injury that will put him out through that show. So that is three really, really big losses to AEW All In. And I think that they are looking good on the card at least. But man, that does suck to not have them. So the hiring freeze doesn't apply to NXT NIL developmental. That's correct. But you have not seen a main roster hire that has appeared on WWE TV since, somebody tell me, since when? When was the last time that we saw a main roster debut from a new signing? Chelsea appeared at the Royal Rumble and had got signed in the fall of the prior year. I know that the beginning of November is when Eric Young got signed. I know that much. AEW Full Gear. So this had made its way around wrestling a little bit. Some people in WWE had actually heard about that as well. AEW, November 19th was a date that was mentioned internally. And people go, well, wait a second, the Jags play that day. And there were some people in AEW that were worried. They're like, oh man, Tony during a Jags day, and there's no way he could have been at both. Then we got some clarity. It's actually happening Saturday, November 18 on internal calendars at the Kia Forum in Los Angeles, California. Dynamite, the days prior, will be in Ontario, California. I do not know what's going to happen with the Collision show. Hunter says January. No, not January. We didn't see a signing in January that popped up on WWE TV. Not that I'm aware of. Your best guess, when do you guess Jey Uso comes back to TV? After the next pay-per-view would make a lot of sense, but not having any bloodline on the show, that's interesting, right? Any news on Kurt Angle being back at Payback, considering it's Pittsburgh? I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he popped up there. Why not, right? I meant Chelsea was the last return. My bad. Yeah, but I mean, she was signed in the fall. In the fall. How do you think we could fix problems with Punk and the Elite? I thought that if there was a chance, it would have been Tony or Mega or somebody during contract negotiations saying, okay, here's the amount that we're going to pay you. Let's make this work. And that didn't happen. I was told that those contracts are very much we're going to factor in the fact that, you know, some of these situations might occur. type of thing. They got paid a lot of money, to stay. And those are our huge deals. We spoke to the Blue Meanie. We spoke to Adam Priest this past week. Make sure you guys check that out. Of course, Raw plans, SmackDown plans back in the fold. Loving to see those back because you know Vince isn't there, so I feel a little bit more comfortable in posting them. Any of this Punk and Elite mess being blamed on Tony internally that you're aware of? Yeah, yeah, of course. There are people that take issue with the handling of things, but I think that's to be expected. People don't really say a ton about Tony, to be honest with you. I don't know if it's out of fear or nervous of repercussion or anything like that. I don't know. I have no idea what does or doesn't lead to that, but I'll poke and prod a little bit more. As we finish this show, guys, we are 22 subscribers away on youtube.com/fightful from 100,000. I think we're going to get there today. And holy cow, can't believe it. But specifically, even beyond the YouTube subscribers, I want to thank you guys so much. I have mentioned this numerous times. Our subs in the summer kind of die down and all that stuff. And the fact that over 8,000 of you still support us and support original reporting and support the hard work that we do and support the fact that this service specifically is the reason why we have 40 people that submit invoices every couple weeks. Like we went from, it was me and two other personalities on this payroll to over 40 people do invoices every month. Like it has helped provide an awful lot of opportunities. It has, dare I say, it has helped change the way that we cover stuff. I'm really appreciative of you guys. And I want to say thank you to everyone who checked on me last week. That means an awful lot. I am always a little bit hesitant to put stuff like that out there. But I also know that when I skip a couple days, there are going to be people being like, what's up? And I don't want to do anything that causes alarm or reduces, our subscriber base or makes you lose confidence in that. I'm good to go now. And I just want to thank you all so much for just even giving a damn. So thank you all. I appreciate you all. Go over there and tap that subscription button. We are 20 away now. Insane. Insane. Am I going to take the 100K belt to the Needle London? No, I packed light. There's no 100K belt. Are you kidding me? I've got a fantasy football belt that I got to mail off to Shane Helms. That's been a long time coming. We get a silver YouTube play button. Hold on. I'll show you guys what it looks like for those of you who, don't know. And I'm not dumb. I know we're never hitting 1 million. Honestly, I don't want the notoriety that comes with 1 million. I know that we're not going to get the diamond. So, okay. Somebody's asking about this. Are you giving Punk his award soon? I'm just going to screen this from my hallway. So pardon me and hold on. But a little dusty because it has sat in my thing, but I still have CM Punk's award. I have asked Punk if he wanted it. He did not reply. He replied to other stuff, didn't reply to that. Dax has said that he'll make sure he gets it. And I have said to people, I wonder what trash can in Lexington this award ends up in after Saturday. So I will at least do my best to get this to CM Punk. There's a possibility that he's going to say, I don't want that piece of shit. There's a potential that he says, I don't want to carry that in my luggage. It's heavy. Cause these are pretty heavy, man. Like they're pretty good size, honestly. But here is the silver YouTube play button. Ooh, we've got a limit of files because people don't delete their shit on this. So let's see here. This is the silver YouTube play button. guys, somebody says if you're allowed backstage, I wouldn't be going backstage there anyway. Guys, thank you all so much. We're out.